Welcome back. Spring officially arrived at 10:46 this morning, just about an hour ago. So I thought, what better way to start off the first day of spring than to welcome the Commissioner of Natural Resources, which deals with everything outdoors, and tell us what's coming up in Quincy this year. Dave Murphy's here.
Joe, thank you very much for having me.
I appreciate it. Our pleasure. Even look springy.
Yeah, trying.
Before we talk about spring, we unfortunately have to talk about what happened this past winter what the cleanup is going to look like for you and your crew.
Yeah, our crews have been very busy this spring.
Already.
Even though the snow melts, what's left behind is a lot of litter, leaves that normally would have been picked up in the wintertime. Fences get damaged by the plows. Some of the new trees, we've been planting 500 new trees every year for the last 6 years.
Wow.
A lot of those can get damaged. Mm. A lot of shrubs, plants, et cetera. So we're into winter cleanup still before we can get to spring cleanup.
Okay.
So it's been a pretty busy early spring.
Yeah.
But the high schools are now on the fields for their spring sports season, so we're in full go mode. We're just trying to make sure we can clean up the winter before we get into our activities for the spring.
Yeah, well, I mean, the snow just left just about a week ago. You couldn't even see what was the problem, right, until that got out of the way.
I think we're all glad it's gone.
Oh, we're very glad it was gone, yes. If I never see it again, it'll be too soon. Anything major in terms of damage that needs to be addressed?
On the park side, not really. I know that DPW did an incredible job this year, not just of plowing, but with the snow removal. Mm. They were out for five nights at a clip. I don't know how some of these folks can go without sleep. I know they have breaks in between, but really, the effort that I saw, both from my colleagues in the DPW office, Commissioner Grazioso, Larry Prendeville, but also the men and women that work for the department, was very admirable. I mean, they really threw their backs into it, and I did an excellent job this winter. Now it's just cleanup time.
Yeah, and let's jump ahead here because we're talking about it. Cleaner, greener is going to be more important than ever this year, right?
Yes. Yeah. You know, we try to keep up with the parks all winter long, but as I mentioned with the snow cover this year, you know, you'll see a little more litter than you would have in past years. So Saturday, May 2nd, first Saturday in May every year, it's a rite of spring.
Do you know how many years now? We're probably going on at least
30. Yeah. I know we started on the mayor's sheets. So it's probably just about 30 at this point.
Okay.
And from 9 to 12, mm-hmm. the city provides tools, bags, gloves, t-shirts, free t-shirt for all our volunteers.
Yep.
And people fan out across the city, about 1,500 people on average every year. And in recent years, it's turned to as much beautification projects as it is cleanup. We probably need a little more cleanup this year because of the snow.
Sure.
But it's been a great day, not just to make the city look better for the springtime, but to build those community bonds and build those community relationships, mm-hmm. get your friends and neighbors, classmates, whatever it may be.
People look forward to it, right?
That's what makes Quincy special. Yeah, it's really kind of that community building exercises that we have around our various events, and Clean and Green is a great one.
Might be the first time folks have seen each other all winter,
right.
You know, they
right.
finally get together and look forward to this and plan around it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I know a lot of scouting groups, community associations, the garden clubs.
Those groups have been fantastic and part of our program every single year.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, Mayor Koch will host an appreciation barbecue for all our volunteers, up a pageant from about 12:30 on. Get a hamburger, hot dog, make sure you get your Clean and Green t-shirt and a cold drink. And again, celebrate the community's response to a collective issue and the volunteerism that goes into Clean and Green.
Yeah, and as the mayor likes to point out, saves money.
Yeah,
for the city too, right?
Yeah.
It's free labor.
Yeah, that's great.
Do you have to sign up for it, or just kind of show up?
What you can do is you can call in advance. You can call our office at 617-376-1251. And Paul Daugherty, our program manager in the Park Department, who runs Clean the Greener, does an excellent job.
Mm.
He can either set your group up with the tools that you need in a location, or he can connect you. If you're an individual and you're not sure where to go, we have lists that he can connect you with. So regardless of your circumstances, we can find a place for you.
Okay, very good. And again, it's Saturday, May 2nd. It's always the first Saturday in May. It just happens to be May 2nd this year. Very good. Excellent. Something to look forward to.
It is.
Let's take a step back now. You mentioned pageant. How did the fields weather the winter across the city?
So snow cover is typically good for grass growth. This year was a little bit different because we had so much snow for so snow long. We like it to fall, cover, melt, fall, cover, melt.
Yeah.
We just had a steady snow cover for a month and a half.
Yes, right.
Yeah. So not bad. We're not in bad shape. And like I said, our folks are on the fields getting them ready for the spring sports season.
Right?
So
yeah.
We're very fortunate that we have Creedon in the stadium and now Kincaid, which has the artificial turf.
Mm.
But a lot of our fields, such as Pageant, and some of the softball fields and baseball fields, we've been working hard to get them ready, open them up, let them dry a little bit better, scarify them is the machine that we use.
Okay.
So we should be good to go, ready for the season. As long as it doesn't rain for the entire month of April, we'll be fine.
No, let's not worry about that right now. And you do have some projects planned.
We sure do.
Let's start with number one then, actually. Let's head down to Mount Street Beach.
We have a very exciting project for Mount Street Beach. Some people that have been around a little bit may be familiar with the ropes course that was introduced as a possibility at Mount Street about 15 years ago. So I know there was a community discussion, a number of meetings down in Quincy Point about bringing a ropes a challenge course down to Mount Street Beach. Through the support of the Community Preservation Committee, they've allocated the money last year. Okay. We went out to bid this spring and got a very competitive price that was within our budget. We're conducting a community meeting tomorrow morning, Saturday, at 11 a.m. at the Four River Clubhouse with Councilor Ash to talk about possibly using the field at Mount Street Beach as a potential location for the ropes course. Now, the course is one part of a broader plan that Mayor Koch has for youth and teen leadership development.
Oh.
So Matt Lowe is part of our team. He's working through the Quincy Public Schools. He ran what was known as the Sheriff's Camp, a Bilotti camp, for many years. And it's not just a fun recreational event, climbing the ropes. It's about building confidence, learning leadership skills, learning communication skills, and looking out for each other. So the ropes course is a great element of that program. Mm-hmm. But it's one piece of a larger puzzle that I think, you know, being a teenager or a young teen or preteen in today's world is really difficult.
Mm.
So I think the mayor is building some resources around that area, working through the school department with the rec department, and the ropes course will hopefully become a part of that.
All right. We actually have a picture of an existing ropes course, and this is actually what it might look like down at Mount Street?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so we sink essentially these 30, 40-foot poles. There are different elements with each of them. It's much safer than it looks. The installation has to be done by a certified company. All of the staff has to be safety certified trained, including the directors. And they spend quite a bit of time on training long before any participants would show up in any camp.
Okay.
So I know looking at a picture like this with people with certain altitude, people would probably flinch. But
me included. Yeah. I hate heights. Yeah.
all three of my kids went through the program that the Sheriff's Camp ran, and it's as safe as can be.
Yeah.
It helps some people overcome their fears, and literally it builds confidence at a time of life that these young people really need help building confidence.
And that actually, this is an existing course, right, at the Sheriff's Camp
in
Braintree?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. And this will be a city-run program. It's not something that's just open to the public, right?
Correct.
Okay.
The high ropes course will be done through city programming because of the safety factors involved in the safety training necessary. It'll be secured when it's not being used.
All right.
You know, the lowest element will be 14 feet in the air. So unless you're bringing in a 20-foot ladder, you can't go near it.
Right. Okay.
There will be other elements. There'll be challenge course elements, kind of low elements that the neighborhood kids that want something different than the traditional playground, they can use those on their own without supervision.
Okay.
But the high ropes course will be secured and locked up when it's not in use by a safety trained professional.
Okay. And I'm guessing it's seasonal. It's not for the winter months.
No, not for the winter months. But we plan on running programs with the school in the spring and the fall.
Oh.
And then running a Quincy Rec summer program throughout the course of July and August.
All right, something brand new then, very good. So timing-wise, Dave, what are we looking at for this?
So we're hoping to have this constructed during the summer and possibly start programming there in the fall.
Is that right?
Yeah, so a lot of it depends on, we have the community meeting tomorrow. We want to make sure that we test some of our theories about where it should go, how we should get there. So the community's going to have a say in this.
I think
it's going to be a community-driven process, so I don't want to get out in front of that. But I think if things go as anticipated, we should be ready to go in the fall.
All right. So, again, that meeting is 11 a.m. Saturday, March 21st at Four River Clubhouse.
Yes.
Okay. Open to anybody.
Anybody that wants to go.
So, okay. Very good. Let's move over to Husneck. There's a street hockey court at Brill Field that's going to get some attention.
It sure is.
Yeah.
Yep. Down at Brill Field at the end of Husneck at the very end of C Street. The city has a large park there, and within that park there is a street hockey court with boards and a fence that has seen better days.
Yes.
It's the old plywood boards that have been beat up pretty good. Some of the asphalt is cracked. So, again, through the help of the Community Preservation Committee, we identified funding 2 years ago to bring in a new street hockey rink. And that will be built the late spring, early summer.
Mm-hmm.
It will also have the ability to flood that rink. I know that Dave DeMoner and the Housenet Community Council do a great job of building a little rink down at Brill Field. So now we'll be able to combine the two. So during the three seasons, you'll be able to play street hockey there.
Yeah.
And during the wintertime, you'll be able to skate down there as well, too, as long as the weather cooperates.
It would have been great this past winter.
Yes.
Could have been skating probably still today.
Yeah.
That's definite. That's going to happen.
Yes, we've already identified the funds. They're well within the budget that we've received from the Community Preservation Committee.
Sure.
We'll probably demo the old boards within the next 3 weeks, and you'll you'll see new construction starting in June.
Okay, excellent. Let's head over to Beechwood Knoll and talk about Sailor's Home Pond.
Great.
Yeah, the turtles are coming back.
The turtles are coming back. We had a wonderful restoration project down there led by our environmental scientist, Heather Liss. So going back to last spring, we actually worked with New England Wildlife Center to capture the turtles to move them out during the home renovation. It's like doing your house over. You don't want to be there while the roof is being done, the sawdust is falling. So we've had...
How many turtles do you know? Roughly
just approximately 30 turtles housed at the New England Wildlife Center.
Okay.
And when we did this at Butler's Pond a few years ago, it was one of the most popular community events that we've ever
done. For sure.
People
everybody showed up
turtles,
to see the turtles come back, and I think the mayor was taking a picture of putting them back in.
So Heather has done a great job with the whole project. Yeah. ACK Engineering, a lot of Quincy ties with the low bidder in that contract. They did a wonderful job. The last piece of the puzzle is we're actually building a small observation deck so that people can enjoy the new restored pond.
Okay.
And within that observation deck, there'll be educational signage about what the project was done, the health of the pond, and what future generations can do to keep the pond healthy.
Very nice. Okay.
Yeah, it's a great project.
Yeah. When is that happening, Dave?
So the turtle release is going to be in May. We're trying to nail down a date with the New England Wildlife Center. It would be a Saturday in May, possibly the 16th, the 23rd, or sometime in that range. Oh. But we haven't had an official confirmation
yet. All right. Please let us know, because everybody's going to want to know
to
watch the turtles come back. Let's go back down to Quincy Point for a while.
Sure.
Cleverly Court.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've got a wonderful park project down there, again, driven by a community process.
Yeah.
Councilor Ash held a community meeting about a month ago or so down about a property on Cleverly Court that for years was an asphalt wasteland, has been used for industrial purposes, pipe storage, asphalt storage, you name it. And the mayor has acquired the property from the MWRA, and he wants to build a 2-acre park. And the elements of that park are driven, as I said, through the community's input.
Okay.
And what we have planned is a basketball court, a walking path.
Yeah, I'll show folks a picture of that, actually. Oh, rendering, right?
Not sure, just rendering,
picture. So you can kind of explain what we're looking at here.
So what you can see is Cleverly Court would be at the bottom of the screen.
Yep.
And you have walking paths through the property. You have a small playground to the north of the property. You have a basketball court. You have some benches and gathering spaces.
Okay.
And basically, it's meant as a place, you know, in an area that one side of the neighborhood is very industrial. It's right next to the shipyard.
Sure.
It's, I think, a very welcome green space. The neighbors were overwhelmingly positive about the city coming in there and building a new park down there.
Okay.
It also provides a companion or sibling component to the soccer fields across the street.
Yes.
You know, if you're 8-year-old sister has a soccer game, the 4-year-old brother doesn't want to watch soccer, he comes across to the playground, mm-hmm. or mom walks or dad walks around with them on the path, and it works well as a companion piece to the soccer field too.
Okay.
And I do think it's going to be a nice shot in the arm for the neighborhood. It's been such a neglected piece of property for generations, and now you'll have a beautiful landscape park in there. It's being designed by Scott Bishop, who's a local landscape architect who did the Kincaid Park design project for us, which won all kinds of national and international awards. So again, we're dealing with stormwater on site and building a recreational facility, so it's a great, modern, smart park.
Yeah, you mentioned Kincaid. That also was built in an area that was, you know, very industrial, a lot of non-porous surfaces, as they say, right? So it needed some green space.
Yeah, similar concept.
Similar concept. Has there been a name selected for this new park?
Well, I mean, the idea, not formally,
okay.
so I don't want to get too far out in front of myself, but we did receive state funding from the Speaker of the House, Ron Mariano, who is a Quincy Point guy through and through.
Certainly.
It would be a natural at some point, but that would be up to the mayor and the park board.
Okay.
But I do think that it would be a natural, and the mayor has suggested, I think that's the direction he wants to go in.
Mariano Park?
Yeah, it has a nice ring to it.
Okay.
But we've been very lucky. The Speaker got us some funding for the park, CPC, we have a federal grant, and we have some old capital money too that we're going to use. So we're putting the pieces together here to make this, the park, the best that it can be.
Yeah, and timeline on this project, Dave?
So we're in design phase right now.
Oh, okay.
We're probably out to bid in the spring, mm-hmm. and construction starting in the summer, not finishing until late fall probably.
Okay, so maybe an opening next spring perhaps?
Perhaps,
or maybe late fall depending on the timeline and the weather.
Right.
Of course, right? Let's talk dogs.
Yes.
You just completed a survey, actually, of folks and what their feelings are with dogs in parks, right?
We did. We had over 200 people respond.
Oh, you did?
Dog
okay.
owners. And We issued the survey because we recognize that dog owners and their four-legged friends are one of the largest user groups increasing in our parks. And from time to time, there are conflicts between youth sports and dogs, mm-hmm. you know, harmless conflicts, but conflicts. And we want to talk to dog owners to figure out if there's a way that we can cure some of that. I don't believe that we're going to cure all of it, but I do think that we can provide spaces that dog owners would be interested in for their dogs to socialize and the owners to socialize within some of our existing neighborhood parks. We have really two dog parks now. And this
is the second one.
So Kendall Kettle Hole in North Quincy was a fenced-in area many years ago. 50 years ago, they had a small diamond in it, but it was located so tightly within a residential neighborhood that we pulled out the diamond, and it became, by the dog owners, kind of a neighborhood dog park. Okay. So we looked around and said, "This is the use that the neighbor wants it. The neighborhood wants
it to be." It's obvious if they're already using
right.
it, right?
So yeah. we put some okay. amenities in there, okay. and it's basically a de facto little dog park, a okay. neighborhood dog park. In Quarry Street, we built the dog park that draws people from all over.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, we don't want to build standalone dog parks. What I want to do is take a look at our existing park system and see if there are opportunities at places like Faxon Park or Bishop Field or Rourke or some other locations mm-hmm. that we can incorporate what I would call dog playgrounds or dog runs to put some amenities in there, put some shade in there, so that we can have a space for the dogs and have a space for the kids playing softball or soccer. That doesn't necessarily conflict okay. When they're on the field.
All right, everybody coexists peacefully.
Yeah, that's the hope.
Together, right?
That's the hope.
What's the next step in that process?
So the next step is a public meeting. We're going to take the survey results and the findings, and the findings were essentially what they thought they would be. You know, I think a lot of the dog owners would love to have a space for themselves.
Sure.
They also want some trails that they can walk their dogs on, similar to what you see. Squaw Rock is a very popular trail right now for
sure.
both walkers
yep.
and dog walkers. But places like that where they can go out and exercise their dog in nature. We've got a great park system. We've got a lot of room. There should be plenty for everybody.
Okay, very good. And finally, 75th anniversary of the Flag Day Parade and Fireworks Celebration this year.
Favorite day of the year.
Yes.
Every year.
June 13th this year.
Yes, it's another Saturday night.
Yeah.
We're planning a parade, maybe not as big as the Quincy 400 last year, but the mayor is looking to recognize the country's 250th. So there'll be some special elements this year that you wouldn't see in a typical Flag Day parade a number of years ago. So stay tuned for those details, but it's going to be a great night. I mean, the bands that are lining up, we've got a great array of musical entertainment that night. We'll have some special floats that people haven't seen before.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll have our typical run with the giant flags that are in the parade,
yes.
so the community will be able to participate. And then I think everybody's favorite part is the 1,000 children, the youth sports groups that finish the parade.
Yeah.
And then the fireworks. It's really the unofficial kickoff of summer here in Quincy, and it's really become one of the best events in Quincy or anywhere else for my money.
Oh, so. Yeah, people come from all over, absolutely.
Yeah.
Dave, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you.
Likewise.
There's so much going on, and it gives us hope for spring eternal.
Yes.
Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
You are welcome.